Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him out of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now with this letter, when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away. So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, 'Wash and be clean,' then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." The story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5 is a wonderful and glorious story. A story about a man who was struck with leprosy, who got word that there was a prophet back in the land that could take care of that. And he went to that man and, after some hesitation, did what the prophet demanded of him to do. And when he did, his leprosy, his skin, was made clean as it was before he ever had it. It's a historical story. It's a true story. It's something that happens. Some folks have a hard time believing Bible stories. Well, that's sorry for them, because the stories of the Word of God have always proven to be true. Nobody's ever disproved any story in the Bible. So the story of Naaman, the Syrian, and the healing by Elisha by dipping 7 times in the River Jordan is a wonderful story. But here's the thing. That story happened 3,500 years ago. What is that to thee? What is it? Why do we read about this story? Just to say, look what could happen? Every Old Testament story has a moral to it. You remember the stories when you were growing up? Every story has a moral to it. Every Bible story has a lesson to it. And when we begin to read the New Testament, we are able to take it back to the stories of the Old Testament and see what those stories were teaching us. We say it this way: the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. When you're reading the Old Testament and you read through these stories and you rejoice about this Syrian general named Naaman that got healed, okay, yeah, whoopee, big deal. Keep reading your Bible. When you get to the New Testament, something's going to come on. You're going to say, wait a minute, that's what that story's about. It's not all that met the eye back in 2 Kings chapter 5, but there are some things that happen in this story that are New Testament examples for you and I. I want you to notice just 3 things this evening in this story about this great general named Naaman. Number one, I want you to see a woeful problem. W-O-E, woeful. Oh, woe is me. a woeful problem. Notice it says in verse number 1, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. That's the woeful problem. He was a leper. You know, leprosy was no respecter of persons. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking, well, the lepers, those were the ones at the lower ends of society, the poor, the beggarly, the outcast, and so they got this dreaded disease and were put into these colonies and all that. No, leprosy didn't hit just the lower class. Leprosy hit a lady named Miriam, who is Moses' sister. Leprosy hit Aaron, who was Moses' brother. There are a lot of people in the Old Testament of rank and of substance that faced this dreaded disease called leprosy. And here's such a man. Notice it says in verse 5, it says four things about Naaman. It says he was captain of the host of the king of Syria. This is the commanding general of the armies of Syria. Here's a man who has built a reputation and has honor among the people. It says also about him, he was a great man with his master, the master being the king. The king relied a lot upon Naaman. He entrusted him with much things, put him in charge of all the troops. He ran his pentagon, as it were. It also says about him, he was honorable. Not a whole lot of men you can say things like that about. Honorable. And then fourthly, it says he was a mighty man. Not mighty man of valor. You'll read that about us. He was a mighty man in valor. When the battle was going on and only the valiant were standing, Naaman was counted among them. He was not one that was running. He was not one that was quick to retreat. He was a mighty man in valor. So this man, who's captain of the host, a great man with his master, an honorable man, and mighty man, in spite of all these great things, he was a leper. Leprosy hit people of all rank. It hit people of all styles. You know the law of leprosy, don't you, in the book of Leviticus? Remember when you're reading your Bible through and you get to that section about leprosy? It's like, oh no. That's a hard place in the Bible to read. And it's about the man coming with the rising of the scab in the back of his hand and showing it to the priest. And if it be red and risen but not swollen, it you do this. And if there be hair growing out of it, and all of these laws and all these regulations and all these codes. And God spends so much time talking about the appearance of leprosy and treating it right away, because if not, it's going to spread. And isolating those that had it and separating them from the rest of society so they not infect them. And God goes to great detail to give us all this information about this dreaded thing called leprosy, so that we understand that when somebody like Naaman gets it, it's going to be a change of his life. Old things are going to be passed away, and I don't mean in a good way. An honorable man and the leader of the armies of Israel, when these things happen, he is in danger. The minute it's discovered, he's out the door. He's isolated. He's put into a leper. It doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter how valiant he's been. Doesn't matter how honorable he is. When leprosy sets in, it's a new story. Everything's over again. Now, the reason that's so significant is because when we continue to read the Bible, we find out that leprosy is simply a type. It's a picture. It's an illustration. An illustration of something that begins very small in the flesh, but if not treated and handled right away, if not set aside and isolated, it's going to affect the rest of the body and utterly consume and ultimately consume everything. And leprosy is a picture of sin. That's exactly the way that sin works in the life of an unbeliever. It begins small. It begins insignificant. It begins hard to notice. But once you begin to see it, it needs to be dealt with right away, because if not, it's going to grow and get larger and larger and larger. And those that had that dreaded disease, when they went to the priest and the priest saw and recognized by the law of God how to deal, oh no, that's just a little wart you've got there. You've been handling some toads or something recently. They could separate that from what the real problem was. And they would identify the problem. You know the problem with our society? Everything's warts from toads. The world looks at everything, oh, it's just a little blemish. They don't recognize sin. They don't recognize the power of it. They don't recognize that when it gets in just a little bit, it's not satisfied, and it's going to blossom and grow and spread throughout the whole body. How many great men and women, how many notable people, we read it all the time in the newspaper, some politician gets caught up in some kind of immorality. Some successful business CEO, we find out that he's been dishonest in his business dealings. What happened? Well, they just didn't wake up one morning with some massive, large sin that came in their life. No, it started as a little tiny scab, and it wasn't dealt with, and it wasn't treated, and it wasn't handled right, because the world told them, oh, don't worry about it, it's just a little problem, you don't have to deal with that. And eventually it grew and took down men of notoriety and men of rank and women of position. Just like it did to Naaman, it takes down people all the time. This leprosy ruined him. It took away everything good he had and left him with nothing. It took a mighty man of valor. It took a captain of the host of Syria. It took an honorable man. And it took a great man with his master and made him just another leper in the colony. He's no different than all the rest. It ruined him. Now he didn't ruin him, but it ruled him. From that point forward, you know what was the first thought on his mind? This leprosy. That consumed him the rest of his life. That consumed him through his days. After it was discovered he had that, that's all he thought about, was the problem that he had. Leprosy is a picture in the Bible of sin. He could have said, I was a success. I was somebody. But leprosy took it all. We all know the story of the successful businessman that fell into alcohol. Or immorality. Or dishonesty. And got their priorities wrong and out of order. And didn't put God first. And eventually it all comes tumbling down. Because that leprosy comes in and consumes and ruins everything that's there. It's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a company or the president of a country or just a commoner anywhere else. It doesn't care who it takes down. It wants to take down everybody. So we find that he had a woeful problem. Number two. And we're skipping through some stuff because we're just focusing on these three things. Number one, he had a woeful problem. He was a leper. But number two, he got a word from the prophet in verse 9 and 10. He got a word from the prophet. It turns out, and we read the story, that Naaman had been one of those that had invaded the land of Israel, and when they invaded the land of Israel, they brought back captives, they brought back servants, and one was a young woman that waited on Naaman's wife. What a coincidence, huh? What a coincidence this little girl ended up in Naaman's household. No, what a coincidence. God placed her in the right place to be in that place and that position. And she mentioned to her mistress, she mentioned to Naaman's wife, oh, would to God that my master was with the prophet that's in Israel. He could take care of that problem. And when Naaman's wife heard that, she immediately ran the news into Naaman, and Naaman took it to the king. And the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel and said, I've heard that you can heal people from leprosy. Here is my chief servant. Here's the captain of my host, an honorable man. I want you to heal him. And of course, the king of Israel, rent his garments and said, who am I that I can heal anybody and do anything like that? But Elisha, the prophet, got word of what was going on. And he says in verse number nine, verse eight. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha said to the messengers, Elisha sent a messenger unto him, verse 10, saying, go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. A word from the prophet. All it's going to take to clean Naaman of his leprosy is a word from the prophet. You understand, it's not going to be difficult. It's not going to be hard. He's going to get a word from the prophet, and that's all it's going to take to cleanse him from his leprosy. Why does the world think that forgiveness of sins has got to be so difficult? Why do they think it can't be easy? Why do they think you can't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Because they don't believe a word from the prophet. They don't believe the word from the preacher. They don't believe, if they don't understand, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word from the prophet is a simple word. But notice in verse 10, to Naaman, the word of the prophet was an unusual word. Verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now here's what you can do. Go backwards from 2 Kings 4. And go back through the Bible, back to Genesis, and find where Elisha got that message. Find where someone else said, go wash in a river 7 times and you'll be clean of your leprosy. You know what you'll find? That you won't find it. This is an unusual message. A message that's never been given before. And surely Naaman would think, what in the world are you talking about? We're going to read his response in verse 11 and 12. What are you talking about? What do you mean, go wash in the water? In verse 10. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. That doesn't make any sense. That's never been told anybody before. It's never been done like this before. It's an unusual word. In verse 11, it's an unexpected word. Unexpected. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went his way and said, behold, I thought. And here's the problem of the common sinner. They've got leprosy and they think they know how to get rid of it. Well, if you know how to get rid of it, genius, then get rid of it. But isn't it amazing the ones that think they can get rid of it can't get rid of it. And yet they don't want to believe the word from the prophet. They don't want to believe the word from the preacher, from the word of God. He said this, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and remove and recover the leper. Apparently, Naaman had been watching Benny Hinn revivals. He had seen many waving his jacket around and slapping people and slaying them in the spirit. And have you ever watched any of that stuff? Benny Hinn just kind of waves his hand like that and they're 10 feet away and they get knocked backward to the ground. And Naaman apparently, I don't know where he'd come up with this, but he said, I thought that's how you would take care of it. I thought that's what you would just come and wave your hand over me and recover the leprosy. It was an unexpected word. And then thirdly, in verse 12, it was an unacceptable word. Here's what he said. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Can I tell you this? A leper is in no position to argue. Hey, Naaman, you're a leper. Someone wants to help you. Someone wants to make you clean. Shut up and do what he says. But no, Naaman, the self-righteous leper, has to say, wait a minute, I thought he'd do it this way, or I thought he'd do it that way. Or, wait a minute, I've got rivers back in my home country that are just as clean as that filthy Jordan. Why do I have to go there and do it? Why can't I do this back here? Everything that came out of Naaman's mouth was in opposition to a word, to the word from the prophet. And that's the picture of the sinner today. They don't want to heed the word. They don't want to believe the word. They don't want to listen to the word. Oh, well, that's the way your church teaches. No, that's the way the Bible declares it. Well, that's your belief. Everybody's got their own belief. No, everybody else's belief is wrong. Now, you're not going to necessarily say it that way. The Bible is right. The Bible is right and everything. When Jesus said, I am the way, he didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the word of the prophet, the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. But many a sinner, just like Naaman, many of those stricken with this leprosy want to argue and debate and question about it and mull it around when the opportunity to get clean is right before them. Instead of grasping that opportunity, they want to reason it out. Brother Tom, how many times have you and I had a discussion about fellows you witness to that want to reason all these things out? They want to understand all the details and all, you know, we want to know about all the things about how God could have possibly created the world before we're going to believe it. If you're waiting for all the answers, you'll never believe anything. Because you'll never have all the answers. So believe the word of the prophet. When Elisha comes by and says, go dip 7 times in the Jordan, you know what you do? You get as fast as you can to the River Jordan and get under 7 times as quick as you can. You do what the prophet says and get your skin clean. Why argue and debate? Why question and go against him? Just listen to what he says. So number one, he's got a woeful problem. Number two, there's a word from the prophet. Then number three, go down to verse number 14 where we finished our reading. Then went he down, talking about Naaman, and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. I'm glad that the story ends with him finally coming to his senses. I'm glad the story ends with him listening and heeding the word of the prophet. Now it took some time for him to get there. I thought he'd do it this way. Are not these rivers back in my country just as good as that? And I like the story in verse number 13 about his servants. I mean, here's this great general sitting astride on his white valiant horse. And his lieutenants or his aides come up to him and say, "What's the matter with you? Sir, with all due respect, have you lost your mind?" Now I'm reading the leafly version here in verse number 13. But they come up and say, "What is going on? If he'd asked you to go out and get 1,000 foreskins of the Philistines." Remember that story between Saul and David? If he'd asked you to do some difficult thing, some hard thing, would you not have done it? And the answer is yes. He was a mighty man of valor. He would have done anything to get clean of that leprosy. Well, now that he's asked you to do something so simple, what's the problem? What's the issue? Well, it just can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. That's the cry of the sinner from ages past. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. I've got to do something. No, you've got to heed the word from the prophet. So those soldiers riding around him go to him and say, "Listen, we've been with you in battle. We've seen you do everything that's necessary to do to win a fight, to win a battle. Why won't you do this one simple thing?" And so in verse 14, he goes down to the River Jordan and he dips himself. The Bible just skips over. It doesn't give us all the information. It just tells us what he dips down 7 times. I like to read that story and think, all right, you just don't go blump, 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 blump 7 times. You go down 1 time and come up. And I can imagine Naaman going down once and coming up and looking at his skin, and there's not a bit of change. There's not any difference to when he went down. So he goes down a 2nd time and comes up. Forget this. Why am I wasting my time in this filthy river? Why am I doing this? I've been down 2 times and I'm no different. And the men on the shore said, Naaman, he said 7 times. All right, 3rd time. Just carry it on. 4th time. I don't believe there was a process he was getting cleaner. When it went to the 4th time, the 5th time, the 6th time, he came up the 6th time, he was just as dirty as he went down the 1st time. But the prophet didn't say 6 times. He said, "Go down, dip 7 times." And when he dipped the 7th time, I imagine him coming up and not even looking at his skin this time. Just saying it to this guy, "Look, I've been down 6 times and there's not been a single change in my body. I'm still covered with leprosy. I went down the 7th time and now look." And he looks. And that hand's got its fingers back. That arm has been cleansed of its leprosy. He's gonna hear a wonderful pronouncement. And that's what we see in verse 14. The wonderful pronouncement. You're clean. You're clean. We go back to Leviticus when those priests looked at those men and said, it's leprosy. You need to be isolated. You need to be cast out. You need to be put aside. And they'd go aside for 7 days and then come back, hoping beyond all hope that by some miraculous wonder of God, they would come back and it'd be clean. And if the priest would descend to them, he said, you're clean. What a day that was. Not have to go back to the lepers, not to go back to the degradation, not to go back to the filth, but now be declared clean. And now, what a wonderful pronouncement it was that day for Naaman when he realized everything that I was, I can be again. I can be the captain of the armies of Syria. I can be a valiant man. I can do all the things I did because I have been made clean. And he was made, what made him clean? And be careful here. What made him clean? All the water of the River Jordan. No. If the next leper in line would have run down there and dipped 7 times, they'd have came up the 7th time just as filthy as it was the first time. It wasn't the water that did it. Some folks try to read baptismal regeneration into this. Well, see, leprosy is a type of sin. If you'll go in and get baptized in the river, if you'll get baptized in water, now be careful. If you're gonna make that application, you ever heard about the Dunkards? The Dunkards baptized 3 times. You know, when you get baptized in water by immersion, the Dunkards believe in immersion, but it's 3 times. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. You're sure glad there wasn't 4 people in the Trinity. 3 times. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. You come back up. All right, this guy went under 7 times. So if you believe that the water's going to save you, you got to go under 7 times. Good luck with that. It wasn't the water that did it. It wasn't the Jordan that did it. You know what it was? Obeying the word of the prophet. Whatever the prophet would have told him would have gotten him clean. It just happened to be go wash 7 times in the River Jordan. Now there's a singular assignment for every lost sinner. If thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. There's a lot of Naamans walking around out there tonight. They're lepers. They're filthy. They're degraded. You can't necessarily see it on the outside because it begins under the flesh, under the skin. With some of them, it might manifest itself in their lives and the way they live. But many times it's hidden underneath the surface. But they're outcast. They're enemies from God. But the word of the prophet, believe. The word of the prophet, for by grace through faith. By the word of God, they can be made clean. It's really that simple. All Naaman had to do was obey the command of Elisha. And the minute he came up the 7th time, fulfilling the command, the minute he came up the 7th time, his skin was as fresh as the day he was born. Naaman gives us a wonderful illustration of a woeful problem, a word from the prophet, and a wonderful pronouncement. Now you're clean. You know what Jesus said? Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The question tonight is simply this: are you clean?